Please listen carefully.
Hi, Allie. Welcome back to the Bring Your Own Kombucha podcast.
Hi, love. How are you?
Good. How are you being a mama of two now?
Oh, you know, it's a hot mess over here. I was telling you before we started, Arlie's here and she's gurgling and she's sitting up. She was having poop explosions yesterday. That was fun. Today seems to be more like just lots of spit and gurgling and sneezing and, you know, just all the little baby things. But everything is, you know, good. It's just crazy. It's like, I just thought, oh, I'll have Arlie and, you know, we'll just keep on moving. And it's like, oh no, it is so intense. And it's funny, like, I think Arlie is actually easier and it's like Amelia is getting harder because she is older. She is wild as a toddler now. She is just dying for attention, obviously. She's really good with Arlie. Like, she's not bad with her at all, thank God. But she's just so, like, I need attention, She's constantly screaming at Justin and I, which she had never done before until Arlie came. And, like, it's not even, like, screaming, like, meanly. It's just, like, screaming, like, I want your attention. Like, earlier, we were trying to have a conversation, and she was like, Dada, Dada, Mama, Mama. And I'm like, Amelia, say excuse me. And she's like, ah. And I'm like, Amelia, what do you need? And she's kept going. And I was like, Justin, just talk to her for a second. So he's like, what, Amelia? You know, and then she's like, oh, hi. Like, she's like dying and craving our attention. So I know they always tell you that, but like, that's been super intense for us. And I think especially for me, because obviously, like, I'm full time with the girls and Justin helps as much as he can. So it's been intense. And I've had to really shift my mindset to be like, it's okay. Breathe. It's not going to be like this forever. We're just in a transition.
Right. So with that being said, since we talked heavily about postpartum last time you were on the podcast, what has postpartum been like so far for you between bouncing a toddler and a newborn and then just postpartum altogether?
Yeah. So it's wild how different this beginning of my postpartum journey has been compared to Amelia's. Like, obviously on your show, I shared my heavy postpartum depression and how I think my C-section was quite traumatic, my birth that really, you know, added into that. And this has just been such a different experience so far. Like, I can't believe that I'm a little bit 2 months out of having, you know, two girls, you know, achieving my VBAC, which I am so grateful for that I was able to do. And I just think, like, the mindset for me has just been so different. Like, I just feel so much better, like, mentally. I feel so much better physically. Like, just everything about me just feels better. Even though things are so much harder, I still feel like, I don't know. It's just so wild to me that even though this is a lot harder going from one to two and this is way more intense in so many other ways, I just feel so much better in, like, my mind and my body and my soul and just everything all together just feels better. And, like, Justin said to me, like, right after I got my VBAC and I had Arlie, like, he looked at me and he was like, this is so wild looking at you from when you had Amelia versus when you had Arlie. Like, you literally could see the defeat and the depression and everything settle in, like, the moment after the C-section. And even though you were so happy, obviously, to have Amelia, like, you personally were having such a hard time. And he's like, and then when you had Arlie, he's like, if there's such a thing, it was like post-euphoria. Like, he couldn't get over how happy I was, how I was just, like, crying in tears. Like, I was on cloud fucking nine. Like, I was so happy. I was so grateful. And I think that's just continued. Like, obviously, the major, major, like, endorphins wore off after a week. And I was like, oh, reality check. Like, I have two kids now, you know?
Yeah.
But even now, like, even though I have moments where I get, like, you know, down and everything, like, I just still, like, check back in with myself. And I'm like, I freaking achieved my VBAC. I can handle anything and everything, you know? And I have to keep, like, reminding myself that. And I just think it's, like, been such a good check-in for me because even when I have, like, a low day, I still figure out a way to, like, make myself feel positive and, like, take myself out of it. Like, last night, I was having a moment because I've been so slammed trying to get back to work stuff. Like, I just kind of started getting back to work in the last few weeks. I obviously don't really have maternity leave being my own entrepreneur and freelance and everything, but I took a few weeks off after having Arlie and kind of forced myself to, like, not be online, not answer emails, and, like, really just kind of be present and not do too much. And I only handled things that were, like, must handle. And when, you know, I kind of started easing back into things, of course, I do, like, too much at once, and I had so much going on with all my different projects, and I, like, really freaked myself out last night because I just had so many deadlines that I wasn't doing, and I, like, it was about to kind of flip and, like, have a full-blown anxiety attack, and I, like, tucked myself down, and I was like, okay, I'm going to walk away from my phone, I'm going to walk away from my computer, I'm just going to breathe, and, like, what am I going to do to, like, chill myself out? And the girls were still up. Justin was up with me, and, like, we were downstairs and, like, hanging out, and I, like, just didn't feel like I wanted to, like, leave the family per se and, like, go disappear, because that's not what I wanted, but I needed to do something. So I started baking, and I just baked lactation cookies because I was like, why not? Because I'm hungry, and, like, I'm trying to get my milk, you know, supply to be officially, like, I guess, you know, established now that I'm, like, 2 months. And I just, like, made cookies, and Amelia ended up, like, helping me, like, mix a little bit, and she was super chill and calm. And it was just so fun. And then as soon as I was done, I felt so much better. Everybody went to bed. And Arlie went upstairs with Justin. And, like, I stayed downstairs. And I powered through, like, 3 hours of just massive emails, projects, things I had to do for, like, weeks. And I just felt so good when I woke up this morning. And I was like, wow, okay, I know not every day is going to be like that. But, like, that was just such a check-in for myself to be like, I can freaking do it.
I love that. And isn't that the truth when you take, like, that mental health break and you come back to something, you're just so much better off, even though in the back of your mind you're like, I can't take a break, I don't have time to take a break, you know, it's always just so much more beneficial when you do that.
It's so true. And it's like, you do, it's, isn't it funny how you said you feel like you just can't take a break, but you do. Like, we were doing a million things and you're like, I can't take a break, I have to do this, I have to do that right now. And it's like, the reality is nothing has to happen right that minute, unless literally it's like life or death situation. Like, nothing has to happen then. Even with your own child, like, I have to remind myself with Amelia, like, if she has a meltdown and starts screaming, like, I don't have to handle it that second and react. I can take a second and just sit there and breathe. As long as she's fine and she's just melting down, I can let her melt down for a minute and then address the situation instead of melting down myself and just reacting.
Absolutely. So with that being said, I kind of want to transition and talk a little bit about your VBAC, because so for those who don't know, a VBAC is a vaginal birth after cesarean, and you and I both had C-sections with our first daughters, and we, you know, that obviously wasn't planned,
no.
But I want to know how you prepared for your VBAC this time around, especially your mindset, because I feel like, one, it's a little bit, like, intimidating your second time around to be like, you know, I'm going to go for the VBAC, because it would be so much easier from some points of view to just be like, all right, I already had a C-section, let's just cut right back open again and, you know, take the baby out. But we both know that, you know, recovering from a C-section is super hard. So I really want to know, like, why you went for that VBAC and how you mentally prepared for it.
Yeah, I love that you asked this question, because, like, first off, I feel like so many people are like, what is a VBAC? Like, what is that? And they don't even know they can do it. And so, like, I love that you're talking about this, because obviously I'm very passionate about it, especially after, you know, I achieved mine. And I think that, first off, with our health system, like, nobody, like, tells you that's an option. It's like,
yes,
you have a C-section and you're just supposed to have a C-section. And it's like, okay, I understand for some moms who don't want to go through the trials of labor, who maybe have a medical reason that they need to do that, like, that's fine. I get that. But it shouldn't just be like, this is what it is, and then there's no conversation, no option. Like, when I got pregnant with Arlie and I went for, like, my, you know, first few checkups, I'll never forget my doctor that I had then, because I transferred out. My doctor, she says to me, okay, so everything looks good, and this is, like, what I think your due date is, so let's schedule your C-section, and I need you to sign off on these papers, and let's pick a date when you want to have your baby. And I looked at her, and I just remember, like, staring, like, literally, like, staring, like, into, like the wall, because I couldn't even look at her, because I was just so mad that, like, she wasn't even, like, having conversation with me about, like, oh, so how did your first birth go? Because she was my doctor. And, like, what do you want to do? And it was just literally, hey, this is what the system wants. So, right. Like, let's just have you sign off on this. And, like, let's just schedule your C-section. And I looked at her and I went, whoa. First off, I don't even think I want to, you know, schedule a C-section. I've already done some research on what I'm looking to do with a VBAC. And I have people in my birth community. And, like, the minute I started saying that, she looked at me and she's like, oh, well, let's talk about the risk of a VBAC. I did it, and I was like, okay, I already know the risk. It's uterine rupture.
Right.
It's one risk, and that's it. There's not a bunch of risk. It's uterine rupture. That's what it is. It is a very scary risk. It's a real risk, but that is it. And it's only 0.01%.
I was just going to say, it's, like, under 1%.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 0.01, which means, obviously, it does happen.
Yeah.
But it doesn't happen, like, that often. And the way, like, the medical system talks about it, they make it act like it's something that, like, continuously happens. So, like, why would you even go for it? And it's like, let's be real, they make way more money off a C-section.
Right.
And it's also, like, there's no fuss. There's no question for the doctor. They just know, okay, this is the date. She's going in. She's going to have a baby. And it's done. And it's like, I get that's convenient for you, but not every mom wants their birth to just be convenient. Like, a lot of moms, like you and I, want, like, a certain experience, or at least have the opportunity to try to have that experience. And so for me, I immediately knew I was switching. And so starting with that, I would say you have to be your own advocate. Like, you have to advocate for yourself. If you really want something, especially when it comes to your birth, you have to advocate for yourself, because nobody's going to say to you, like, oh, by the way, these are your options. Like, it's a menu. Like, they're just going to say, this is what it is, and then this is what you're doing. And you have to be able to turn to them and say, I've done my research. I know what I want. You are hired by me.
Exactly.
Like, I hired you, not the other way around. Like, I can fire you if I want to, which I did with her. And, you know, and I can make my own decision. So definitely that was first. I advocated for myself. I made the decision, I'm walking out of that doctor's room and saying, I'm going for a VBAC. I'm finding a doctor who will take me and who will help me potentially achieve that VBAC. So I searched high and low, spoke to so many different resources and people in my birth community, and found a few different people who were willing to have a conversation with me about a VBAC. And when I met Dr. Brock, I just knew he was it. He was first off known as, like, the VBAC king in LA. Like, everybody knows him. And he sat down with me, and he's like, so what's up? And I just remember sitting in his office and, like, twiddling my hands and thumbs and looking at him like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to ask him if he'll do this for me. And he's like, why do you look so nervous? And I'm like, well, I would like to talk about a VBAC. And he's like, okay, cool, let's do it. And I just looked at him, and I, like, literally got, like, so teary-eyed, Erica. And I looked at him, and I was like, really? Just like that? And he's like, yeah, just like that. And I was like, aww. Oh. Okay, you know, and I couldn't believe it. And he goes, oh, let me guess, you've been told no. And I said, yeah. I said, and a lot of people I've spoken to have told me that they'd say no. And he goes, yeah. He goes, well, you know, it's easier to do a C-section, and it's, you know, more of a guarantee when you've already had a C-section that, like, there's not going to be any issues. He goes, however, there's still sometimes issues with having a second or third C-section and cutting in the same spot. And he goes, you know, there's always, like, going to be risks to different things. And he goes, I help women achieve VBACs whenever I can, and that's kind of, like, one of the things I'm known for. And I said to him, like, then I really would like for you to be my doctor. And so, you know, I hired him then, and we immediately started working together. And I told him, like, you know, what I happened with Amelia, with her getting stuck at 6 centimeters and having to go to the hospital, and, you know, all the things. And he was like, okay. And he was like, and what did you get to when it came to, like, actually trying to push her? And I was like, well, I got to almost a 9. I was basically almost complete, and she just wasn't coming down. And he goes, well, the good news is like, you actually went through the whole labor process, and your body just didn't really want to allow you to do what you were doing, or Amelia didn't respond. He goes, but, like, you actually went through it. He goes, so that's a really good sign. And I just thought, like, his encouragement, just even from that, I was like, wow, okay, I can do this. And then the meanwhile, while I was, like, finding a doctor that, like, aligned with my values and would help me with a VBAC, I also found my chiropractor, because I have been told by several people in my birth community that sometimes it can be something with your body. And of course, again, nobody tells us this. And so I did more research, and I found that, like, a lot of times, because of our hips or the way the baby sits, or if something's off the pelvic, it can really change things. Baby can get stuck. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's too big to come out. Like, that's actually kind of a myth. And, you know, it's actually all about, like, the way your body is and the hips and this and that. So I finally had her packed for like 9 weeks. I started working with her, Dr. Annie, and she was amazing. And we worked together through my whole pregnancy up until like 2 days before I went into labor. And she helped me like move my hips and adjust my pelvic and get my hips aligned because they were super off when I first went to her. And I mean, my body changed dramatically from when I first went to her to the end of it. And also, Arlie engaged so much faster because of it. Like, I went from, whereas Amelia was always a very high pregnancy, like when you looked at me, she was very high up and she barely dropped. Arlie dropped and dropped and dropped and then like actually engaged in the birth canal, which is how I was able to have a very successful and, you know, smooth VBAC. And so again, like I would say, another part of that preparation was finding the right people around me, the right resources, doing the right research, and having the right team. And that meant also finding the right doula that also had been a part of VBAC, so she was supportive. Like, I just made sure I found everybody I needed this time around versus kind of just assuming that, like, oh, you know, it'll just work out. I was like, no, I'm going to be really, really, like, aware of who I'm picking. And then, of course, my mindset, like you said, I became really, really mindful of what I was consuming and what I was reading about VBACs. I joined several VBAC Facebook groups. I started listening to several VBAC podcasts, especially the VBAC Link. I started like listening to different success stories. I also listened to stories that weren't successful and why they weren't successful to see what I could pull away from them without giving myself fear. I did a fear releasing course at the end when I was really struggling. I mean, I took a couple of VBAC courses. I just really, like, I would say I overdid it with the VBAC stuff. But, like, for me, I wanted to have as much resources and knowledge as I could to feel like, you know, I can do this, that I have the support. And I think being in the Facebook groups and, like, listening to these podcasts, hearing all these moms, like, achieve their VBACs and, like, how good they felt, but also, like, how they navigated through it when it got hard, I like went back to that when I was in, you know, motion with my VBAC and I was laboring Arlie down and I was having all these moments. I kept reminding myself, like, think of all the women you connected with or you listened to that talked about their VBACs and what they did. And I just think there's so much empowerment in that, you know, and listening and having that support and that, and like all the, you know, different mindsets and meditations I did and visualizations. I journaled like every single day about my VBAC, why I wanted it, you know, what I was working towards. I would journal about like how I saw things, what I wanted to happen, like everything that I could, even though I knew everything wasn't going to be what I wrote down. I just think the fact that I put it in motion and I kind of spoke to the universe and prayed on it and meditated on it, the more I asked for it, the more it became not only just out there in the universe, but like for me, it became like very real and something I truly was not only passionate about, but I really wanted to fight for.
I love that. So I actually can relate with the chiropractor. I saw you were going, so I also gave it a try. And like my body just feels so good after going to the chiropractor. Like,
right? Don't you just feel like your whole freaking body, like even though you're like obviously all of us when we're pregnant, we're all huge, we're all falling over, feel like we can't move. But like somehow when you go to the chiropractor, you literally stand up and you're like, oh my God, I can move again. Like, holy shit. Like your body just feels like yours again, even though you're carrying a freaking baby.
And it's so wild too that you said that you felt like Arlie was a lower, because, you know, was, you know, a little bit lower than Amelia was, because I feel the same way about how Lizzie, I felt like she was always up very high. And right now I feel like Bryn is just like so low. I feel like she's always like,
yes, I was going to tell you, like the last few weeks and I'm looking at like your stories and your pictures, I'm like, wow, she girlfriend is like engaged. Like she knows what she's doing. She's totally following her body. And like, you can see like the difference. It's like, I've known you obviously from when you had Lizzie, like in your body too. And it's just so wild because again, like nobody says this to us. Like nobody said to me after, you know, like I had Amelia, like, oh, you know, you look really high in that pregnancy, or, you know, Amelia didn't really engage, or, you know, whatever it may be, like not even my freaking midwife like said to me, like, oh, you know, you look high even like during it. Like, and I feel like that's something that like you, I know it's not something you can be taught, but like at least give that knowledge of like, hey, this is something also to look out for. So that, like, when you are either getting pregnant or you are pregnant, like, you can kind of pay attention to it. And if that means you need to do, like, mild circuit exercises, like, which I did with Arlie, like, later in the game, or, you know, just different exercises that help move the baby down, like, when you're on the ball, and all these different things that, like, help engage the baby, that's a big difference than just kind of sitting and waiting to go into labor.
Absolutely. It's just so wild that, like, I'm feeling her so much lower now, and I'm like, yeah, okay, so this is what it's supposed to.
Like, in there, like, just, like, about to slip out, like, hey, yes. Mom, I'm right here.
I feel like she's, like, swiping her hands down there. I'm like, where are you? Like,
I felt the same way every day. I was like, Justin, I think Arlie's going to fall out. Like, I think she literally is going to, like, fall out, and, like, that's it. Justin's like, great, have her fall out, and we'll just move on. Like, I was like, yeah, wouldn't that be nice? You know, like, it was just like, and then it was crazy. Like, when I went to Dr. Brock for my last few weeks, like, when I was waiting, like, I was in that, you know, 37 to 42 week horrible stage that you're in now, where everybody's like, is she here yet? Is she here yet? What's going on?
Yeah.
Like, leave me the F alone. Like, I'm aware that I'm in that time. You're not helping anything. You're stressing me the F out. Like, let me be. Everybody was making me crazy, like, texting me 24/7. I'm like, I know my due date. Leave me alone. Like,
seriously.
Like, right? It's so annoying, and it's so frustrating. Even Arlie's whimpering. She's like, oh, yeah, I remember everybody was annoying and asking when I was coming. But it's just, like, it's crazy because I feel like there's so much of that in, like, the mom world and in the, like, pregnancy world of, like, this is your due date. It's the best. Da, 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 da. But it's, like, there's not of, like, hey, these are the things you can do to, like, help your body along, or this is what you can help to repair your body, or, you know, all of those things. And I remember when I went to Dr. Brock at, like, 39 or 40 weeks, and I did my checkup, and he did a membrane sweep because he was like, you know, do you want me to kind of help you along? And I was like, sure. Like shoot, I wasn't looking at things were moving as much. So I was like, okay, well, I didn't want to be induced. So I said, fine, like, if that's a more natural way, then let's do it. And we did, and that was so freaking painful. I've never done that before.
Really?
It feels like, in my opinion, it felt like Velcro was being, like, ripped off of me. I don't even know how to explain it, but it was so painful. And then when he did it, he was like, oh, like, when I swept you, like, I felt her, like, right there. Like, I felt her head, like, and I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God, just pull her out. Like,
yeah, so, really?
You know, just, like, crazy. But I just think, like you said, like, you, I just think that, you know, your body, it just responds so much differently every single pregnancy and birth. And, like, good for you for knowing that, like, you want to go for a VBAC and, like, doing your research and, like, figuring out, like, you know, what will help you, because that's, like, honestly, I think a huge part of it. Huge. And then it comes down to, again, your provider and, like, actually what happened in that room. Because, like, so when, fast forward, I went into labor finally, like, right at 42 weeks, and it was literally the day before I was getting induced. Like, my doctor had told me the week before, like, listen, I've let this go on, I've been super supportive of you, we've been checking her, doing non-stress tests, like, everything's good, but we're getting to the end, and, like, if she doesn't come on her own, like, we're gonna have to, like, induce. And I was so against inducing because I had heard so many stories of different people that had failed VBACs because of induction, because of the way the medicine mixes with everything.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't want it. I don't want it. And he was like, I promise you, I will do my best to help you achieve your VBAC, even if we do induce. But, like, this is what's gonna happen in the next 48 hours if, like, she doesn't come. And I was like, okay. And then before that had happened, during that week, he had actually said to me when I came in, he was like, I'm scheduling an induction. I'll see you tonight at 2 a.m. And I was, like, devastated. And it was my 8-year anniversary with Justin. And I left the doctor's office. I came home. I was so upset. I was, like, in tears. And I turned to Justin. And I was like, I don't want to go in. I don't want to do an induction. I don't. And he was like, okay, breathe. Like, let's just have dinner, have a glass of wine, like, chill. And, like, let's just see, like, where things are. And then, like, later that night, I turned to him and I was like, I really don't want to do the induction. I don't feel good about it. I'm going to feel super bitter going into, like, this birth. I don't want to. And he was like, okay, well, you decide. So I called my doula and I was like, Stacey, and she's like, it's your birth. It's your doctor. It's your decision. You make the decision what you want to do. So I knew all my tests had come back great. I knew all my liquids were great. Nothing was wrong with her. It was literally just a matter of fact of, you know, the date was getting close. And so I said to Justin, like, I'm pushing it. I'm not doing it. And I called the hospital. I'll never forget this. I called Cedars and I said, hi, you know, this is Allie Levine. And I'm calling because I'm canceling my appointment for my induction. I won't be showing up tonight. Please let Dr. Buck know. And I hung up. I remember, Erica, I, like, got off the phone. Like, I was, like, back in school, like, in trouble with the teacher. Like, I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be in so much trouble. I can't believe I called. Like, what is he going to say? Like, I was, like, freaking out. And I went to bed, like, totally frazzled. And the next morning, he called me. And it was, like, 8 a.m. And he's like, good morning. And I was like, good morning. And he's like, so you chose not to show up last night? And I was like, no. And he's like, okay. He's like, message received. We'll continue for the rest of this week, like, originally planned. I'll see you tomorrow for your next non-stress test. And that was it. And that alone showed me, like, they are your provider. You hire them. They are your doctor. They are a tool to get your baby out. Yes, of course, they are your doctor. Yes, of course, they hopefully want the best for you. But at the end of the day, they want to get your baby out. And it is your decision to decide, as long as your baby is fine and safe and healthy, of what you want to do as mama. Because from then on, once that baby's born, you make all the decisions for the baby.
Right.
So you get to decide. And that, for me, was so empowering to see how he reacted and how I felt after he said that to me. And so then we continued all through the week. And then, like I said, that night before, he said to me, okay, I'm going to have to induce you because we're now going to be at 42 weeks and I'm not letting you go past that. And that was originally the plan. Like, when we first sat down from the beginning, I said to him, I want to be able to go as close to full term as possible. And he was like, as long as everything looks good, I will let you. So I was like, okay, he honored his side of the bargain. I'm going to honor mine. So I, even though I didn't want to, I was going to do, you know, the induction the next day. And of course, Arlie decided that night before, hey, I'm going to come. And so I went into labor around like 2:30 in the morning. Again, going back to the mindset. So when I went into labor, I had had all these like crampy feelings for a couple of days. I was having prodromal labor for like 3 weeks. For those that don't know what prodromal labor is, basically it's way more intense than Braxton Hicks. It's like actual active labor that starts and stops. It's almost like fake contractions, but it's actually contracting your uterus and it's actually doing something inside your body, and it's not just causing like the Braxton Hicks pains. So it's way more intense and actually does something to you and the baby and your body than Braxton Hicks. So I didn't even know that because I never had that with Amelia. And so I had that with Arlie for like 3 weeks straight. So when I was having that again at the house, I figured that's what it was, and I ignored it. And I kept getting cramps and more crampy and more crampy. And my doula was like, you know, why don't you go get some acupuncture, like do some labor stimulation, then go home, take a bath, like lay down, take some melatonin, and just like relax. Like just let your body go. Because at that point, I had been trying everything, you know, eating spicy food, walking like crazy, bouncing on the ball like crazy, stimulating the pump on my boobs like crazy. Like every single thing that they tell you to do, I was doing, and nothing was working. And I was so fed up. So I was like, okay, I went and got a labor stimulation massage and got acupuncture. I came home. I felt like super relaxed. And Justin and I were like, okay, we're going to have like a little movie night with Amelia and like hang out as a family of three. So we like had a movie night. We also turned on music, had a little dance party, had a glass of wine. Like we just had a good time. We let Amelia stay up to like 11 o'clock at night, like just partying, having fun.
Aww.
And it was just like a really like fun little like family night. And later that night, I was laying in bed. I had Justin do more like acupressure on my like back and lower back, and then like by my butt, and then my feet and my hands. I was doing acupressure. And just like trying to just essentially help stimulate, but like not overly do things. And then he fell asleep in bed, and I got up out of bed, and I was just like, couldn't sleep. And I was like, I'm just gonna walk up and down the stairs to like clear my mind and like listen to a podcast. So I didn't even get the podcast on in my ears. When I went to go down the stairs, I felt this like weird cramp, and I was like, that's weird. But I just thought to myself, oh, it must be prodromal labor again, like whatever. And then I continued down the stairs and I felt another one. I was like, ooh, that was more painful. Okay. And then I went down further down and I went to get a snack, got my snack, walked back up. Halfway up my stairs, I could not walk up anymore. I started crawling up my stairs. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, I like dialed my doula. I was like, she didn't pick up. I texted her. I'm like, I think I might be in labor. I know I've told you this every night for 3 weeks. I'm in labor. And she was like, okay, what's going on? I was like telling her, and she's like, okay, breathe. Like, just lay down, just chill. So like, I laid down in bed and I like just felt them, but like they were kind of stalling again. And I was like, okay, here we go again. And I was just like, and I just laid there and I was like, okay, I'm not going to get frustrated. I'm not going to get crazy. And I took out my journal and I started journaling and writing down, like, what were my fears? Why was I having such a hard time releasing? Like, what was going on with me? And I just started like bawling and writing down all this stuff from my journal. And then I got up out of bed and I basically crawled into Amelia's room and I sat down in the rocking chair in her room, and she was passed out, obviously. And I just started crying and talking to her all about how, like, I didn't feel like I'd be a good mom to, like, her and her next, you know, sister, and, like, how scared I was to, like, not be able to give her the love I've given her for 2 years, and, you know, all the things that I was fearing, and, like, how I didn't want her to feel like I ever, you know, like, would replace her. It was just, I was so emotional, and I was just, like, crying and, like, spilling, you know, myself to her when she's asleep, you know?
Yeah.
And as soon as I did that, I shit you not, I felt, like, another massive contraction, and I was like, whoa. And so I crawled back into my room and I called Stacy, and she was like, okay, get the tub going, get in the tub, breathe, put on some meditations, leave me in your ears, like in your earbuds, let me just count your contractions and just like chill. So I was like sitting in the tub and I'm just like, you know, doing my meditation and I'm like doing deep breathing. And I went from having contractions that were 11 minutes apart at like almost 3 a.m. to, by almost 4 a.m., I was at 6 minutes apart.
Wow. And
it was so, just an FYI for you. It was so fast. It was so intense. I had no idea that I was even progressing that fast, but I was so in the zone from hypnobirthing, like I know you're studying, that I also did. I was doing meditations and deep breathing and just all kinds of different, you know, I made a whole playlist on my phone for everything in labor and just all the different things I was listening to help me get through my, you know, natural labor in the tub. And she said to me, okay, it's time to wake Justin up. Like, you're progressing fast. Like, it's time for you to go to the hospital. And she woke Justin up. She called him on his phone because I was in the tub, could barely move. And she woke him up. And of course, Justin style, he comes in the bathroom and he's like, ooh, are you really in labor? And I'm like, I'm going to kill you. Yes, I am. And he's like, are you sure? Like, really this time? And I'm like, really, Justin, I am in freaking labor. Come squeeze my damn hips. You know, it's like, yeah. He's already like squeezing my hips, giving me like hip pressure and like, you know, trying to calm me and this and that. Got me out of the tub. She arrived and checked me to make sure like everything looked good. Thank God she came. We weren't going to have her come with everything, obviously, with COVID, but she had been here before. We knew she had been safe in quarantine and also had been tested. And we had her come because I was just like wanting comfort. But thank God we did, because my good friends were supposed to come and watch Amelia when I went to labor. But because I went to middle, like labor until the middle of the night, they didn't come because they didn't hear my call. So like, thank God she was here to like be, you know, there for Amelia and us to leave. And then they came when they woke up and she let them in and everything and whatever. But it was just like, oh my God, I was so grateful for her. But I just think going back to that mindset of like letting go, releasing my fears, and then actually going into labor and the labor no longer stalling. And then same with once I got to the hospital. I was there. I was at basically a 6 in active labor. I got into the room and they, you know, they blast all the lights. I'm used to being like in dark and quiet zen. They blast all the lights, they're checking me, everything's going on, it's chaos. I'm like flipping out again, I'm like, can't stay in my zone. And my doula was on FaceTime and she was like, Allie, breathe. Okay, let's get the lights low, let's get your, you know, you introduced me to the Renegade Mama card.
Yes.
Let's get your cards up, let's like, you know, breathe, like let's just check, you know, check in with yourself, make sure everything's okay. You know, all the things. And so, like, I got everything together. Justin got my cards out, get my crystals out, like, everything. I got my meditation in my ears. And I, like, just sat there and just, like, started, like, breathing. And then I got on the ball and, like, started, like, you know, trying to, like, labor her down further. And then I was back in my zone. And then, you know, many, many hours later of getting to complete, my labor actually went a lot faster than expected with Ollie. Like, from when I was home, it went fast, and then getting to the hospital, and I was laboring her, you know, down, I went from being a 6 to an 8 to a 10 pretty quickly, and we got there, I think, around, like, 6 a.m. to the hospital. By, like, noon, I think, I was around complete, and then my water still hadn't broke right before I became complete, so they broke my water, and then I was officially, like, ready to go, and then I started pushing, and I started having trouble. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, like, I pushed with Amelia, but obviously not the amount of pushing that you do when you're having a vaginal birth, because I wound up, obviously, in a C-section.
Yeah.
So I didn't really, my body remembered labor, because they say your body has muscle memory, but my body didn't know what the pushing was. So I pushed for 3.5 hours before Harley came. Yeah, just a heads up for you. I mean, hopefully for you, that's not the case, but for me, it was. And again, going back to my mindset, where I was so close to the end there, and I was pushing and getting her down, and she was all the way there, and I was like at the last station, I was struggling. I was having a little bit of trouble. I had spikes of fever, which is probably because I'd been checked a million times, so somebody probably, you know, had infected me without meaning to, you know, and all
that.
And I, you know, that's what they tell you not to do, you know, so many cervical checks, you can avoid them. And I was trying to avoid them, but like at the end, it was like they were really trying to see what was going on. And I felt like it was going to be any minute that I was going to have her. So I was like, fine, check me again. But now when I think about it, I'm like, I probably shouldn't have, because maybe it was a spike of fever, but it is what it is. But anyways, I spiked a fever, and then they wanted to, you know, they didn't want to give me as much time anymore to labor down because I spiked fever, because I wanted to make sure I was okay and Arlie was okay. And my doctor was like, listen, we no longer can keep going through this trial of labor, like, we gotta get her out. So, like, if you don't push her out, like, in the next, like, you know, 20 minutes here or so, I'm sorry, we're gonna have to talk about another C-section. And I was just like, I just remember my face and my brain and, like, everything just going, like, red. Like, I was just like, oh, no, I didn't come this damn far to go for another C-section. And again, going back to mindset, like, for a minute there, I was about to, like, flip, and then I had to, like, really tap into myself and be like, no, okay, chill. And I looked at Justin, and I said, take my phone and take a picture. I want to see. He's like, no, you don't want to see. I'm like,
no, you didn't. Oh, my God.
And he was like, no. And I was like, Justin, take a freaking picture. And he was so afraid that, like, I was going to see what a mess it was, you know, down there.
Yeah.
How intense things were, that I was going to freak out. But I'm telling you, it helped me so much to see she was right there, and I just had to just push a little bit more to get her the F out, and I would meet her, and I was just like, okay, here we go. And I just, like, I told him to give him my earbuds. I put them in my ears. I put on a fear-releasing meditation. I prayed. I closed my eyes. I pushed as hard as possible, and then I got her down a little bit further, and my doctor was like, okay, we made some progress. He goes, we're still not there, though. He goes, if you're okay with it, I would like to get the vacuum and help you vacuum assist, but I will help you get her out, and then you can push her out. And I was like, okay, as long as we're avoiding a C-section and it's safe, like, let's do it. And so he, you know, then he gave me a full-blown epidural, because, like, the vacuum is very, very intense and painful. So he gave me a full-blown epidural at that point so that I could be, like, medicated and everything. And then he said, okay, grab the handlebars and push with all your might, like, just as much as you physically can, so you can't push anymore. And I just remember I bared down. I've never bared down so hard in my life. Like, I'm clenching thinking about it right now. And I just, like, pushed as hard as possible. He got the vacuum. He pulled her down, and I pushed her the freak out, and there she was.
Oh, my God. And, like, what was your reaction after you realized that you successfully BVAC'd?
Oh, my God. I was just bawling. I was just crying and crying and bawling. I was just like, I did it. Like, I just, like, I was literally, like, smiling and, like, ugly crying all over, like, just so hardcore, like, sobbing so happily, like, looking at Justin crying on FaceTime with Stacey crying, like, so I'll send you my picture off my phone that my doula snapped while we were on FaceTime. I mean, I was just so happy. I was in so much shock. I was so elated. Like, when they put her on my chest and I saw her, I was like, holy shit, like, I did it. Like, I freaking did it.
Oh, my God. That's amazing. Amazing. Yeah. And it's just like, you know, you went through so much to get to this point again. So you must just feel, like, so overwhelmingly happy and proud of yourself.
Yeah, I do. And I just think, again, like you were saying with the mindset, like, your mindset, and for you too, like, your mindset is everything. Like, there are things you just can't control. Shit happens. I didn't expect to spike a fever. I didn't expect to have a vacuum assist. Like, you know, it was so wild how things went, because it was like, I, you know, all of a sudden I finally went into natural labor, and then my contractions were so fast, and then I went to complete so quick. Like, in my mind, I was like, oh my God, I went from a 6 to 8 to 10 so fast, so easily, like, no big deal. Like, she'll be here and we're done. And it was like, haha, just kidding. Like, the universe is going to check you again. Like, do you really want this? And it was just like, okay, now you have a fever. Now the vacuum's coming into play. Like, it was just so intense. But I just kept that mindset of, like, I can freaking do it. I released all my fears, and, like, I did it. And I swear, like, between the fear releasing the night before and, like, that week before, and then doing it in the moment and, like, listening in my ears to a meditation, that was it. Like, that moment, like, I just went into my own zone, and I didn't even feel like I was there anymore. Like, I was just, I don't know where I was, but I was somewhere else. And as soon as I had her, then I came back, and I was like, oh, my God, holy shit, she's here.
So can you just share again a couple of the resources that you used to prepare for your VBAC? I know you mentioned the Renegade Mama cards. And can you just, like, reiterate the podcast that you listened to and any guidance you got for, like, the fear releasing?
For sure. So, number one, when you want to do a VBAC, advocate for yourself, advocate for yourself, find the right provider. Make sure they are VBAC friendly and not VBAC tolerant or VBAC supportive, not VBAC tolerant. There's a huge difference. And if you listen to, like, the VBAC Link podcast, or join the VBAC Link podcast, or natural VBAC Facebook group, like, any of those, they talk about the difference. And basically, to break it down, someone who's VBAC tolerant will tell you that they will support you for a VBAC, but then will bait and switch when it gets closer to, like, 37, 38 weeks, and they'll say, oh, baby's not here, or baby looks too big, we're under C-section. That's not someone who's VBAC supportive, VBAC friendly. Someone who's VBAC supportive, VBAC friendly is like my doctor, Dr. Rock, who hung in there till the very end and helped me achieve my VBAC. And though he was very real with me and very honest about things that could change, he still let me go into the whole thing the way I was supposed to let my body do what it was supposed to do. And there's a huge difference. So, like, that is a major, major factor when you're looking for your provider. If you can have a doula, virtual or not virtual, I so recommend it. I think my doula was so helpful. She was on with me for 13 freaking hours when I was in the hospital. And yeah, she was amazing. Stacey was incredible. She does do virtual as well as in person in the non, you know, COVID world. She was amazing. And then I would say chiropractor to set your body up from the beginning, like starting with a chiropractor from 9 weeks to then 2 days before, I think, was a game changer. I also think that acupressure and acupuncture and, like, labor stimulation massages also help, because they just let your body really get ready and get into, like, this deep relaxation. If your doctor says it's okay, or midwife, your melatonin is really helpful to relax the body. Definitely finding your happy meditations and things that help you kind of just really tune in to you and your body, whatever that may be, finding what it is so that you can use that as a tool. Journaling, if that's something you like to do. For me, journaling and visualizing was huge. And like you said, the Renegade, you know, mama cards, I really love, because they were empowering. My doula gave them to me, and I would just look at them, you know, for the last few months of my pregnancy to, like, really feel empowered by my body, and especially have a bunch of the ones that really resonated with me there to look at during my birth. And setting up your environment too, like, besides setting up your mindset, set up your environment that feels good. Even if you're in a hospital, there is no reason why you can't make it feel as comfortable as possible. And that's what we did. Like, I had little tea lights, and I had my cards, and I had my crystals, and I had my Renegade drink, which is kind of like a Gatorade, but instead of just drinking water, like, a lot of hospitals will let you drink that because it's safe and it gives you a little more energy and it's all natural. Like, just little things that you can do to make yourself feel more at ease is going to make everything, like, just feel, in my opinion, so much better. Because no matter what, it's freaking nuts. And, like, even this birth, as beautiful as it was intense and wild as all could be. It wasn't traumatic like Amelia's, but it was still wild and intense. And, like, I think that's just birth for everybody. Like, it's just, birth is, like, you know, so freaking beautiful, but just so insane. And I think the more you really get in the mindset and the more you really set yourself up in your mindset and in your atmosphere, the more you're going to be relaxed no matter what the outcome is.
I love, love, love that. That's so inspiring. So since we only have a few more minutes left, what can you tell us a little bit about, I know everything's like so new to you still, but how are you navigating just having a toddler and a little tiny baby at home right now?
Well, Arlie is asleep on my chest right now. She was nursing while we were podcasting. So there's that. She pretty much lives on the boob, which is like beyond exhausting, but it's fine. It's just, I think that this time around, you know, my postpartum journey, and again, my mindset, I've really told myself, like, lower your expectations the F down. Like, lower, 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 lower. Whereas with Amelia, I was like so high expectations about how my birth was going to go and how everything was going to be and how I was going to bounce back and this was going to happen. I was going to go back to work right away and all these things are just not freaking realistic at all. And I was not realistic with myself. I was not kind to my body or my mind. And I think it really like had a huge impact on everything that played out with Amelia's birth. And now second time around, I'm like, okay, I know better. Like, let me do better for myself. Let me really focus on the postpartum. Like, I've done postpartum, like, you know, little exercises to make myself feel better. I have my postpartum doula who I had virtually who helped me, like, wrap my body. It was called Belly Bind. That was amazing. That helped me wrap my body with a fabric they sent me and helped me, like, really help my organs and my womb heal. And that was, like, a game changer for me. Just allowing myself just a few minutes of, like, just me time, even if it's only 5 minutes, to check in and let myself, like, be and know, like, hey, this is, like, hard and this is really intense now that you have two kids, but, like, you can do it. You just have to take more time for yourself and you have to check in with yourself. Like, I just think that I'm so much more aware this time around of, like, how important the postpartum stage is, because postpartum is basically the rest of your mother journey. And like the pregnancy is only like this much. And I feel like so many times we're so focused on the pregnancy and then we don't think about like how heavy postpartum is. Like, regardless, you don't have postpartum depression or anxiety. Like, postpartum is still postpartum. It's that, you know, fourth trimester. It's the next phase of your life. And it's so much of your body and your mental being and everything going on. And I think the more I focus on, like, myself and my health and my wellness, the more I'm able to then plug into the girls more and feel better. And, like, yeah, there are so many days already where it is so intense and I'm exhausted and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't even believe I have two kids. But at the same time, it's been so fulfilling and, like, just so empowering for me to see how much I can step up and, like, rise up to be their mom and be, you know, the woman that I know I can be.
That's actually really, that really resonates with me, because I always joke with my husband that, like, people are so kind to you when you're pregnant, like, so, so kind. They hold the door for you. They smile. They ask how you're doing, you know, just random strangers when you're at the post office or whatever. But then once you have, like, a screaming toddler who's, like, holding you up at the grocery store and, like, during a tantrum.
Everyone's annoyed at you. Everyone's like, yeah. Oh, God.
No one's helping.
Why are they here? Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, listen, like, this is the easiest part. Like, having her in my belly, like, it's not easy, but it's way easier than when they come out. So, I, you know, that's, like, part of it. But then also what you were saying that really resonated was, I was going to ask you, you know, are you enjoying that newborn phase a little bit more? Because I know I personally am, like, looking forward to enjoying it instead of stressing during it.
Yeah, and instead of being like, oh, my God, what is she going to sleep? What is, like, you just know, like, you just expect it. Like, you just know that this is what it is. That's why I said, like, lower expectations, because I think the fact that I lowered my expectations, like, way out and was like, I'm probably not going to sleep. She's probably not going to latch. It's probably going to be hard. And the fact that she, like, latched right from the minute I pushed her out to, like, the fact that, like, yes, it's exhausting, her cluster feeding, but the fact that, like, our nursing has been so much easier. I know what to expect. I feel a clog. I know how to handle it. I don't wonder what it is and all of a sudden get mastitis. Like, it's so different because, you know, like, you'll see that with yourself because you're very intuitive. So, like, you'll see that with yourself. You'll be like, oh, my God, like, I went through this, even though Bryn's doing something different than Lizzie, like, I know that this has to do with that. And, like, this is this, and this is that. And you know what I mean? And, like, you just feel better about it because you just feel way more in the know and you feel way more educated and just not brand new. Like, you feel so freaking brand new when you have your baby. Obviously, they're brand new to you. You're brand new to them. But nobody tells you. Like, you literally feel like, holy shit, like, what is this earth-shattering thing I just did? Like, it's so insane. But then the second one, you're like, okay, I remember this insanity. Like, it'll go away. Like, you know, it's like, you just, it's a different reaction. Like, even Justin and I, as much as Arlie will cry and scream, we don't trip out like the way we used to.
Right.
Like, we're just like, okay, so he's like, you think she has a burp? I'm like, I think so. It sounds like her burp could cry. You know, like, it's just like, we just don't, it's just not the same. Like, you know, or like if she's, you know, screaming and, you know, Amelia's screaming, I handle Amelia first because Amelia knows that I'm not handling her if not. Arlie doesn't know.
Yeah.
So I go to Amelia first unless Arlie really needs something. And I'm like, okay, Amelia, what's going on? Because you're crying and Arlie's crying. So, like, let me help you, and then I got to help her, you know? So it's just a different mindset, and it's a different shift, and it's definitely not easy, but it's easier in the sense that it definitely feels less crazy and less new because you've already been there before.
I love that. How exciting.
I'm so excited for you. So how are you feeling? And, like, so talk to me for a second. Like, so how's it going with, like, the VBAC stuff? Like, what have you... So you went to the chiropractor. So, like, what have you been doing to help yourself?
So I kind of decided late in the game that I wanted to do the VBAC. Like, I've just been, like, working so much during the pandemic that, like, as soon as I went on maternity leave mid-July, I was like, okay, wait, I'm giving birth in a month. Like, I need to prepare. So I kind of, like, got my act together. I was like, you know what? I want to go for the VBAC. I have a good friend who's a doula and a hypnobirthing coach, so she's been generously, like, virtually coaching me nonstop during the week, and I've been going to the chiropractor at least once a week, and I've been doing the affirmation cards. I'm going to check out those podcasts that you mentioned.
Yeah, definitely. The VBAC link, if you're going to listen to anyone, listen to the VBAC link, because that was a game changer, like, for me, because getting to hear the stories of, like, each successful mom who had a VBAC and then ones that didn't have a successful VBAC but, like, shared why they didn't, like, it was so helpful for me to keep in mind when I was going through different things to not let certain things rattle me, to know, like, what it was. Like, I just think it was so helpful.
And you know what? Now that you say that, I've actually spoken through my friend who's a doula. She introduced me to, like, three or four moms who have had successful VBACs. And just hearing their stories alone, I'm like, every time I hear one, like, after I just heard yours, I'm like, oh, my God, I can do this. Like,
yes, you
I'm
can.
Not the first yeah. mom to go through a VBAC. It's, yeah. you know, and you just have to, you know, let go of the fear and do it.
Yeah, and if I could say something with the fear releasing, one of the things that really helped me was writing down my fears, like writing down the fact that I was afraid I wasn't going to push her out physically, the fact that I was going to get put on massive amounts of Pitocin again, the fact that I was going to get put on a heavy epidural that wasn't going to mix well, the fact that I wasn't going to move and feel my body. Like, I just listed one by one by one all these things that I was really afraid of. And I think I wrote down like 10 or 12. And the last one was having another C-section. And I wrote them all down, and I think I got this off one of my VBAC courses. I took a few different courses, and I wrote them all down. I put them in a bowl, and I burned them one by one. And I watched it sounds so weird, but I watched them burn, and I watched, like, the flames go down, like, in the bowl. And there was just something so freeing about it, Erica, that made me just feel like, yes, okay, goodbye to that fear. Goodbye to this fear. And, like, I would give you that advice. That's something that might make you feel good, or at least write it down and then rip them off, or, you know, whatever it might be. But, like, for me, the burning and just sitting there and watching the fears essentially disappear and knowing I was releasing them and then really mentally releasing them, that was huge. And then also my doula did, I should have said this on your podcast, my doula did birth cleansing with me. And that is basically, like, you have a conversation with your doula of, like, what happened with Lizzie's birth and, like, why you had her in the C-section, and you process everything and then you let go of it and you know that this is a new chapter and a new baby and a new birth. And this is a totally separate situation than Lizzie.
Ooh, I love that perspective.
Yes. And that was what my doula said to me. She goes, literally, like, we're going to do, and we did. Like, she did a recording with me. It was just between her and I. And she, like, had me tell my whole story. Like, I was right from the beginning of what happened with Amelia to the end. And then she asked me a couple questions. And then she was like, okay, breathe, like, release. And that's it. Wrap it up in a pretty bow. That's done. Next chapter. And I was just like, okay. And she's like, nope, that's it. Like, process. And let it go. And now this new birth, this new baby, this new pregnancy, everything is brand new and nothing is going to be the same. And she was right. I mean, this birth and pregnancy couldn't have been more different than it was from Amelia's.
Oh, I totally love that. I'm going to have to do a little journaling tonight with the fear releasing and then just kind of clear. Because I feel like that's really, you know, my biggest like hurdle right now is just like getting that fear out. Like,
yeah, and the fear is a real thing. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you can wind up in a C-section, and that's the fear, and that was the same for me. But when you release the power from the fear, and you really just, like, let it and just say, okay, and the worst thing is, I'm in a C-section. As long as I'm safe and the baby's safe, okay, maybe I'm not going to be the happiest, but, like, as long as everyone's okay, I'm still going home with Bryn, I'm still okay, and, like, everything will be okay. And I think, like, Justin helped me with that because after I did some fear releasing, we were on the last few days and I was having a really hard time. We went for a family walk. We were walking like every freaking night because I was trying to get her out. And we were walking, walking, walking. And I was walking with them and I said to Justin, I'm like, you know, my doula and even like my spirit friends and like all these different people in my life have said to me that, you know, Arlie's been ready to come. It's on me. Like I'm holding her there. And one of my like, medium friends and who's an energy healer straight up called me and said to me, hey, I don't usually get involved in your space, but like I'm literally seeing Arlie like sit there and she's been trying to come and you're holding her. And I was like, what? And he was like, yes. He's like, you need to like release whatever the hell is going on with you. And so I jumped in and he was like, okay, well, let's talk about this. He goes, what are you afraid of? And I was like, another C-section. He goes, okay. So like process that. And as soon as like he said that to me, like he was like, look, he goes, you know, I do this with golf. He's like, you know, when I play, I'm like, okay, what's the worst thing? I'm not going to win the match. I'm going to miss this. It's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. He goes, but once you like process it and you work through it, it's then in your mind and you released it. That's what you have to do. You have to just go through in your mind, like what is the worst thing that can happen? What is going to potentially play out? And then release it and don't let that fear have power. Once it doesn't have power, then it's just about you staying in your mindset. Obviously, things have to go right the other directions, but whatever you can control, that's what you have to focus on.
I totally agree. I love that. Love, love, love that. I'm like, I'm getting...
Feel free to reach out to me, like seriously, like as you get closer. I mean, I know it could be any day now for you. So, you know, feel free, like if you're having a moment or something like comes up. But I mean, I saw that last picture of you that you posted on your stories, I think a day or two ago.
Uh-huh.
She looks like she is head down, engaged, ready to go.
She totally is. And you know what? Like, I know we kept trying to like get together and like chat over and over and over again, but I feel like this is like divine timing because I needed to hear this. I needed to be inspired and just be like, all right, like I'm gonna make it happen.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, I'm always here for you and everything, and like, I mean, I know how intensive you can be, and like, let me tell you, like when I was in those last moments where I had gotten through all the labor, I had labored her down, you know, I had gotten to the pushing. I was pushing for hours. Like I was literally, Erica, I was pushing every which way. I was pushing on all fours. I was pushing in crown position. I was pushing with the squat bar. I was pushing on the floor. I mean, I was fucking working for it. And like when it came down to like him coming in and being like, you've spiked a fever. Now we're no longer going to like allow you to continue to labor. Like now this is kind of do or die situation. Like my mind was like, holy shit, I am not having a C-section. Like, I got this freaking far. Like, it
right.
Is not, you know what I mean? And I had to, like, go back to my mind and, like, let go of the fear and be like, nope, nope, I'm not going to freak out. Breathe. Okay, I'm just going to release that fear and, like, focus in my mind. And I swear, like, I shut my eyes as tight as I possibly could, put my fear releasing meditation in my ears, and I just, like, I swear, I felt like I went to another place. And then I remember him saying, like, gosh, and I like just pushed my freaking head off, and then there she was.
Oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, and if you need, like, you know, some of, like, the stuff from my, like, my YouTube, like, that I saved on my, like, playlist of, like, some stuff that helped me for, like, all that, I can send it to you.
Yes, definitely. I'll take whatever resources you have. But I have to head out. But thank you so much for all your advice and all your help.
Thanks for having me on and keep me posted. I know it's all going to be amazing for you. I'm so excited for you and to see little baby Bryn and everything. When was the last time you went for your checkup?